We're so grateful. It's such an honor, privilege that we have to be able to share your word without hindrance. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand before we recognize who you truly are. The God that made heaven and earth, and you have compressed your infinite wisdom as it concerns our lives and the plan of redemption into this 66 volumes of human words. We recognize that it will take your same wisdom to unravel what is hidden in this word. So as we come to share the word, we ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, I further pray that you will put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the fruit, the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, Father, that I may deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, speaking only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all who are in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer in their individual life, agreed and said, Amen. We continue our study in 1 John chapter 4. In our last lesson, we looked at the first five verses, where John in particular was talking about testing the spirits. You know, and traditionally over the years, you know, this has been understood and being interpreted as, you know, maybe you're doing a deliverance session or somebody's demon possessed, you know, and you're trying to cast out the devil, then you want to, you know, find out what kind of spirit is in operation, you know, and that's not wrong. It's just that if you look at the context in which John is writing, it would be wrong to, or incomplete is probably a better word rather than wrong, to limit it to that. You have to look at the context. See, the Bible is a book of, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, and the Holy Spirit is a very intelligent person. He's the most intelligent person there is, you know, and so he writes contextually, but even then there will be things that can be applied, you know, in isolation. You know, that's why the Bible says, you know, the wisdom of God is here a little, there a little, you know. But at the same time, to be able to understand the spirit of what he's saying, you have to look at it in the context. Then you now get what he's really saying in that particular context, even though it could be applied in other areas. That's why the scriptures also speak about the manifold wisdom of God. And so, we'll look at this, we'll just quickly review. And basically, in these first four to five verses, Paul was saying that simply because, I'm going to paraphrase so that we can get it in our modern day language. You know, it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, what that means is this: not every supernatural manifestation comes from God. So the fact that there's a, you know, where is he? Try the spirits. What do you mean by that? You know, you see a spiritual manifestation. Then he says, but don't be gullible. Don't just accept it because it's a spiritual manifestation. You know, test it. Find out what power is behind it. The fact that it's spiritual and it's supernatural and it produces results in quotes, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that it's of God. So he says, test the spirits. Try them to find out whether it is from God or not. I didn't say this in my last lesson, but you know, again, you have to look at the historical and regional context in which the Bible is written. Back in those days, it's still true today, but probably less true today than it was then. You know, there was a lot of idol worship. Idol worship was normal then. Today, it's not, you know, you hardly find people going to temples, you know, to worship idols today. We still have our own idolatry, which is covetousness. I won't go there. You know, but, you know, today, idol worship is implicit. It's hidden. But then it was explicit. In fact, it was what everybody did. You know, they had, remember, this is the Roman Empire. You know, they had all kinds of gods. You know, Diana, the goddess of this, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of this, the god of that. And it was fashionable. It was not it's not like today. It was not a taboo, you know, to go to the temple and worship a god. And this is the context. When they did those things, they were manifestations. And we know here in Yoruba land, at least I can speak for the Yoruba, although I have not seen it because I've been a Christian for so long and I've never deviled, and my family has never gone into all those kind of things. But I've heard stories, you know. But you go to a witch doctor or a native doctor or whatever, and the stone will speak. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, there are all kinds of silly gods, you know, they're really demons. You know, they're gods that give people money. You put them in a room, you know, in the corner of the room, they call, and money will come. You know, they are. Don't be so civilized. Because that is stupid civilization. To say that there are no such things. Oh, they are. They are. You know, there's a clay god in Yoruba, whatever. It's called Shigidi. It's actually a zombie. You know, it's a, you know. And people see them. And they talk. Don't let me get off at all there. The point is, the fact that he's supernatural doesn't mean he's God. So it was that a historical and cultural context that John wrote. And he said, don't believe every spirit. Because they were coming from a background of idol worship. And there were very various manifestations of different spirits. So he said to them, this is nice. Don't put faith in every spirit, but prove. Test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. I mentioned this last time, but I will repeat it. This is not only for unbelievers. You know, wrong spiritual manifestations isn't only for idol worshippers and people who are not even born again. It's there, but also even in the church. That's why I use the word false prophets. If you, because of time, I'm just going to quickly run through. If you remember the context in which Peter was talking, he said, and there will be many false teachers among you as there were false prophets among the people. Now, I shared this some months, a year ago, I don't remember exactly, but this is it. You know, some people, their anointing becomes corrupted. Originally, they were anointed by the Holy Spirit, but because they started walking in disobedience, rebellion, covetousness, you know, that anointing became corrupted, and evil spirits now begin to operate through them. And sadly, so many Christians that are so gullible, they remember, oh, this is a man of God, which is true. But they don't recognize that the simple fact he was a man of God does not mean you should stop testing the spirit. You don't stop testing the spirit. You keep testing the spirit. You know, and of course the type, which is one of the most frightening truths in the Bible, is Saul. Saul was not called by the devil.
It's called by God. Saul was not anointed by Satan, he was anointed by God. But the same Saul, an evil spirit, spoke through him. And we had this is why this truth is so important. We had this operation in Saul. When he was near Samuel, and under a good influence, he'll operate on the Spirit of God. When he was away from that influence, he'll operate under an evil spirit. Same person. It's still in operation in the church today. And that is why this injunction, this warning is so important and relevant. We don't just believe every manifestation. Even if it's somebody who is normally even used by, you still check it. You still check it. Because we have different, you know, let's read on. Verse 2, please. Hereby, he's not telling you how to test it. You know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is not come in the flesh is not of God. Now, he's very specific here. He said, this is that. The Holy Spirit is not leaving us in any, you know, doubt. He's not leaving us, you know, in ignorance. He said, now, this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is that spirit. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is an Antichrist spirit. Let me contextualize it to this present time. Back in those days, like I said, you know, culturally and historically, there was nothing called Christianity. It was a completely new faith. You know, Jesus had just died. You know, you're looking at 10, 15, 20 years after he died. You know, 30, 40, 50. They say in the first 100 years after Jesus died, you know, first 60 or 70 years. Jesus died at 30. So by the time you got to AD 96, you know, that was when John wrote the book of Revelation. So the world at that time, the entire civilization, you know, based in the Roman Empire, was still steeped in demonic worship and idol worship. That was the norm. So now these Christians now come and start talking about, you know, Jesus and come in the flesh. So and that he was, you know, God manifest in the flesh and all of that, you know. And at that time, you know, there was a lot of these demonic evil spirits in operation. We still have them today. It's just that they just changed flavor. Praise the Lord. You know, they just changed operation. They're still there. It's just they just do things much more subtly now. Okay. And so, you know, they would try and test spirit. So in those days, you know, because there was such a rampant manifestation of these evil spirits, one thing you could do then is to find out if the spirit said, do you say Jesus has come in the flesh? And he won't be able to say so. So you would then know that that spirit is not of God. But today, it's much more subtle than that. Satan has upgraded. He's not stupid. You know, so today if you say he just come, of course he just come in flesh. So, but what, how do we apply this same truth, same principle today? Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ can be made manifest in our flesh is not of God. How do we know that that is true? That is the very definition of Antichrist. Antichrist is one that comes in the name of Christ, but against the purpose of Christ. What is the purpose of Christ? That Christ be made manifest in our flesh. That's, you know, that's why Jesus came. Jesus, he came to die so that we could go to heaven and all of that. But, you know, that's one purpose. But the main purpose, he says, for this purpose was Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And then he went on to tell us, you know, in Romans chapter 8, you know, that we might come conform to the image of Christ. That's the purpose. Every spirit that does not confess, when you say confess, now it doesn't have to say it. In other words, that's not his goal. Every spiritual manifestation that is not taking you to that goal is an Antichrist spirit. You have to, and it's so subtle, you know. And I wrote an article on this in 2001. That was around the time of September 11.
You know, it was in a, we did it in the Weekly Rhema recently. You know, so you have the legalistic Antichrist. It's the name of Christ, but it's against the purpose of Christ. I remember when we first became Christians, this didn't happen to me personally much. You know, it happened a little, but I quickly overcame it because God had mercy on me and took me into good teachings, you know, under Kenneth Hagin and Brother Copeland and EWK and all this. So I quickly got out of legalism. But I remember a lot of brethren, especially when I came back to Nigeria, you know, Lord have mercy. You know, they would, you know, if they preach something, you know, maybe against, you know, perfume or, you know, wearing a particular kind of cloth, they weren't pretending. They would be a serious conviction. They will feel guilty. You know, there's a spirit that's doing that. It's not God. And you know, they had manifestations. What's the spirit behind that? Antichrist. So you had the legalistic Antichrist. Then we had the power Antichrist. That's the one that makes manifestations of power when it's not in line with the will and the word of God. But it comes in the name of Christ. You can understand this. You say, Pastor, you're just talking. No, I'm not just talking. Jesus warned us. He said that in the end time, he said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Talking about perfection. He wasn't talking about heaven, just going to heaven. You know, that was not the only thing. He was actually talking about will experience, enter the total dominion, which is Christ manifest in our flesh. He said, for many will say unto me in that day, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many mighty works? Next verse. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Oh, come on. How many people know God knows everybody? So he's not talking about, oh, I didn't know that your name is John. Oh, I didn't know your name is Olubi. No, he wasn't talking about that at all. Of course, God knows everybody. He's talking about, I never had intimacy with you. The same word here in New is the same word, you know, of course, this is Greek, but it's the same Hebrew equivalent of when it says Adam knew his wife and she conceived and she gave birth a son. He's talking about an intimacy that causes a reproduction of his character in your heart and in your flesh. So he says, let me contextualize it. You know, he says, I never had intimacy with you. You were operating a spirit of iniquity. Even though you cast out devils, even though you did many mighty works, even though, you know, you prophesied. So we have a power Antichrist. We have a prophetic Antichrist. I didn't say Jesus said it. I mean, I'm saying it. I'm agreeing with Jesus. But I'm trying to say, it is endemic. You know, that's why you have to be very careful and say, what's the purpose of this? It comes in the name of Christ. Everyone say, in the name of Christ, but against the purpose of Christ. You have the prosperity Antichrist. And it will give you money, but take you away from the purpose. He said, leanness to your soul. So, we have these different flavors of the Antichrist spirit. And because Christians today are ignorant, you know, and they're still interpreting this scripture, you know, in the historical and cultural context of the first century. You know, so, of course, if he says Jesus is, you know, if he says he comes in the name of Jesus and he says just come in the flesh, he is of God. No! Demons are God smarter than that. It's not like a bacteria. When you start treating them with a particular kind of antibiotic, they just develop a immunity. So you have to now look for another antibiotic that particular organism is not. So the devil. But the principle is the same. So you got to understand this. You know, so you have these different spirits. In, you know, look at 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, thank you, Jesus. Wow. 2 Thessalonians, thank you, Lord. Yes. No, yeah, 2 Thessalonians, I think. Chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians, is it first or second? Yes. Verse 2. Now, back up to verse 8 and 7. What did Jesus say that those guys who were doing miracles, what did he say? He said they were walking iniquity. Same thing. He's to prove it to you. So this is not just Pastor Obi talking now. This is, I'm showing to you, it's Pastor Obi talking, but by the Spirit of God, showing you from Scripture. He said the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Watch this, folks. It's not going to come when the Antichrist, the person of the Antichrist, comes. It's already at work. Paul, John said the same thing. He said there are many Antichrists. He's not going to, you know, most people think, oh, the Antichrist is when he comes and he's going to sit in, you know, the temple in Jerusalem and he's going to, you know, because get the one world global government. That's why some people say, oh, Obama is the Antichrist. I certainly don't believe that. He's not. You know, and this one, you know, you see all kinds of rubbish. You know, Christians say, you know, this one is the Antichrist. The Antichrist hasn't shown up yet. When he shows up, you will know. My God will not help you to be here. You know, but there is a spirit of Antichrist. That one is already in operation. It doth already work. Only he who letteth, who now letteth, will let. He's talking about the church. A restrainer. Give this to me, the Amplified. One of the modern translations. Yes. For the mystery of lawlessness. I like this. That hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority. That's one of the hallmarks of that spirit. And this thing that doesn't want you to submit to anything or anybody. And it's still in operation. You know, is already at work in the world. But it is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out. We are the people restraining it. The man-child is the one that's to say, but it's already in operation. Next verse. Go back to King James. If I won't amplify, I'll let you know. Right. Go back. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the presence of. He's now talking about the person. Everybody say the person of the Antichrist. Then the spirit of Antichrist. So the spirit of Antichrist is here, but the person of the Antichrist is not yet manifest. You got to understand these things. You know, and that Antichrist spirit is endemic. It's all over the church. And people don't know. That's why God has asked us to come. Should have, you know, reveal the truth so you will not be deceived. That's why. Why would Jesus give us such a strict warning? He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, come my name. Lord, Lord is in my name. He keeps saying, Jesus. He's calling Jesus Lord. Remember, there's another scripture that says that no spirit can say Jesus is Lord except by Spirit of God. But this one is saying it. He has got immunization. The spirit has developed. You know, there's something you guys call it in medicine. You know, I forgot the name. You know, it's the resistance to the this thing. He didn't say Jesus is Lord. Jesus said he would say Lord, Lord. He said, yet he will cast out devils. He will do mighty works. He will, you know, he will prophesy. That's why it's so dangerous. You see this thing all over the internet. You know, people say, you know, you can come and learn how to prophesy. Nobody can teach you how to prophesy. The spirit of prophecies are spirit wills. Anything that's trying to put prophecy in your mouth is not a right spirit. It came to pass. Of course it came to pass. How will it fool you? How will it deceive you if it doesn't work? It works, but it's not of God. Amen. It's an Antichrist spirit. And one of the characteristics of this Antichrist, you know, have you noticed that everybody's a prophet now? I prophesy into your life. Oh, no, it's all money.
But you know, you come and say, I prophesy. You know, and then they'll tell you all kind of outlandish things. You know, like, you know, you will never have any more problem in your life. You know, I prophesy into your life, you will be a millionaire before the end of the year. It's all over. You're laughing. But it's a spirit. And you know, some of them do become millionaires. Not everybody, but you know, it works. It's an antichrist spirit. How can I come and I can't imagine me coming, you know, I won't do it in Jesus' name. But imagine me coming to this church now, you know, right now, as I'm preaching. Like, if I want to take one heavy offering now, and I come and say, the Spirit of God has spoken to me, you know, at today is November 11, 11, 18. Baba. Exactly. God has said there are going to be 11 billionaires in this church today. And what you are going to do is that all of you must bring an offering of at least 11,000 naira. $11,000. So, I'm going to take back a dollar. I'm sure, Jerry. In the next 18 minutes, because it's 2018. I prophesy in Jesus' name, and you will see them. And you know what? People will fall under the power, and some of them will get the money. That's why it's so common. Once you hear that kind of rubbish, run. Don't allow any wrong spirit to enter your life. Next verse. We're still in 2 Thessalonians. So this is the person. Now, verse 9 is something. Even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. With what? All power and signs and lying wonders. That's the antichrist spirit. So the legalistic antichrist will bring his power and his wonders. The power antichrist will bring his power and his wonders. The prosperity antichrist will bring his power and his wonders. The prophetic antichrist will bring his power and his wonders. There's only one way to know. Is Jesus coming in the flesh? If it is of God, Paul said, and we'll be talking about this later on if the Lord allows me. You know, he said that, you know, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus, that's the purpose. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. This 2 week prosperity. How is it going to help me? Well, you see, the way you know truth, we're going to get there in a minute. The way you know truth from error is that truth will embrace the whole Bible. When I say the whole Bible, I'm not talking about chapter and verse. I'm talking about the principle, the character of God. When somebody's in a church like this, we have, you know, so many people. Then I now come and say, you know, everybody here, I prophesy to you, you will not have any more problem in your life. People are at different levels. People have different problems. People are at different levels of, I cannot take one blanket thing and just, whew. It's not right. The correct thing is to teach you the word of God and then show you how to operate the principles and fulfill the conditions. Then the word of God can come to pass in your life. It's a wrong spirit that wants to give a blanket. He said, God has spoken to me. He has told me that you will not, in fact, you will never see these your enemies. That's totally contrary to scripture. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, you're going to overcome if you will learn how to walk with me. I have to tell you, because that's the truth. The other one that just tells you, blanket. No condition, nothing except money. And you will just get it. It's an antichrist spirit. And sadly, is very common in the church. Over the, you say, we didn't know because people were ignorant, you know, and people wanted an easy way out. They wanted a quick way out. So this spirit began to, just like Saul. Even though the people, some of them were originally called of God, but many of the anointings have become corrupted. And they don't teach anymore the balanced word of God. And you know, Paul prophesied it. He said, the time will come. I was reading it in my Bible study yesterday, my personal Bible reading. You know, he said, you know, teach, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. And I went, the Holy Spirit stopped me. Even though I've been a pastor for so many years, he said, look at that again. He said, reprove. How many messages do you hear today that reprove? He said, rebuke. How many messages do you hear today that rebuke? Well, if you rebuke them, they will leave the church. They said, the man is making me feel condemnation. They do not realize that the warning and the rebuke, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You give me that scripture. Yes, thank you. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Watch this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With what? All long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. Teach the complete word of God. Give the warnings. Give the rebuke. Give this, you know, contextualize it. Make sure they get it. They understand what is demanded of them. And what they need to do in order to get the blessing. Now, look at the next verse. In this, keeping Timothy here. Baba Paul. For the time will come. Turn to your neighbor and say, that time has come. For the time will come. But that time has come now. When they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's what's happening. This prophecy is being fulfilled today. It's so common. They don't want sound doctrine. And come and start telling me about condition. Come on, tell me about miracle. I don't want to know. I don't want to, you know. Don't come and start telling me that this is what I have to do. You find people, they'll take sound like Psalm 91, you know. And they'll just take it out of context and say, this will not, you know, this. But go and read the thing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. He said, because. That means it's contextual. Thank you. Give me the Amplified. The 2 Timothy. Okay. Pastor Gwega said we should look at that Amplified. 2 Timothy. Go back to 2. Come back to Psalm 91 in a minute. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, yes, that chapter 4. Herald the word. Preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show the people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, exhorting them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Pastor Boyer. Hallelujah. For the time is coming when the people will not tolerate. That's what's happening today. Endure sound doctrine and wholesome. I like that word, wholesome. The instruction has to be wholesome. I can't just take one. I can't cherry pick. It has to be complete. So if I preach prosperity, I must tell you that it is as your soul prospers. Because if I start telling you God is just going to bless you and all that, which is true, that God, that's the intention of God. That's what God wants to do. But he's telling you that you can only, it's only to the degree to which your soul prospers that you prosper. They don't like you. They don't want to endure. They don't tolerate that. It's an antichrist spirit. Don't let's forget that context. It's an antichrist spirit. It's a prosperity antichrist. It's the most common one. It's all over. They're all there. The prosperity and power antichrist. It's all there. And you see these people, you know, you see miracles. Remember, they are after the working of Satan. That's not Pastor Luby's word alone. It's the Bible, and I'm just echoing it. With all power and signs and lying wonders. That is the antichrist spirit that is behind many of these things. You want the truth? I tell you, Jesus himself said this to the Pharisees. And I'm saying it to you now. He said, you Pharisees, you tithe anin, mince and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy and faith. Well, I'm talking about mercy later on today. Judgment, mercy and faith. He said, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other under. So prosperity is not wrong. The tithing is not wrong, but you must put the weightier matters of the law. Whenever you're listening, ask yourself. Don't just open your mouth and eat everything they put in your mouth. Hello, somebody. I'm talking, you know, spiritually speaking. Open your ears. Open your and ask yourself, what's being omitted here? What does the Bible actually say? That's why you need to know the word yourself. That's why the Berean Christians were more whole, more noble. Because they searched the scriptures to find out. Don't just swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker. Go back to the Bible and find out whether these things are so. Going back to Psalm 91. You know, where it says, you know, the context is that you make the Most High your habitation. But who is the Most High? He's God. But who is God? Love. That's how you get protection. That's you. Of course, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to start working towards it. You know, it is when you understand that context, you can now understand why so many Christians are attacked and defeated. If it was just that all of us abide in the shadow of the Almighty when we get born again, and yeah, then every Christian should automatically be protected. But we don't see that in practice. So obviously, we have misunderstood the truth. And it is in that context, say, he that dwelleth, he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore. This is sound doctrine. I'm telling you, this is wholesome instruction. I'm not just cherry picking. So I can't just go to that Psalm 91 and say, 1,000 will fall at your right hand. I prophesy to you, 1,000 will fall at your right hand. 10,000, it will not come near you. Ah! I don't want it to come near you. Don't misunderstand me. But I have to tell you in what you need to do so it will not come near you. Make the Most High your habitation. Dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Set your love upon him. Hallelujah. Then 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. But just for me to just take that scripture and not bring the other part is not wholesome instruction. It's actually a deception. And if you continue with it, an antichrist spirit will accommodate you. And that's what we need to guard against in this day and in this hour that we're living in. It's a very subtle spirit. But it's not as obvious as it used to be in the first century when there were a lot of demon worship and everything around. Today, now, you know, everybody goes to church. Satan, you know, he couldn't join. He couldn't beat us, so he joined us. Everybody comes to church, including the devil. In fact, he comes to church more often than the Christians. Satan never misses any service. He's always here to find out what we're saying and what we're doing so he can strategize. Oh, yes. But another, turn to your neighbor, say, chill, man. Don't worry about that. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Yeah, let Satan come. Amen. And we can't stop us from doing what we're doing. Are you listening to me? But it would be very stupid and ignorant of us to think, oh, he doesn't know. Oh, he does. Like I was sharing with someone, I think it was Pastor Wale, you know, a few days ago, we were in England together. I said to him, I said, the one person who believes the Bible more than every other Christian is Satan. You know why? He's been with God long enough to know that what God says, God will do. That's why the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. The Christians may not believe, but the devils believe. Because they know God. They've been with God for long enough. They know God. Satan is the Christians that, you know, think that God will not do it. Satan knows God will do it. But he also knows God is righteous. And he also knows that God does things based on conditions. So instead of trying to make you not believe the word of God, what he just comes is he'll just come and make sure you don't feel the condition. Then he knows you're not going to get anything. That's why it's called the accuser of the brethren. But when you understand the right thing to do, and then you do it by the grace and the mercy of God by faith, then he has no argument against you. But to run away from the truth is to deceive yourself. All the promises of God are conditional. All of them. Now, of course, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect before you can get anything. No, that's not what we're saying. Let me contextualize and balance that. And God, in his mercy and in his sovereignty, sometimes even blesses us when we don't do the right thing. Are you listening to me? Even when we're not even fulfilling the conditions. But he will use somebody else who is fulfilling the condition. Don't forget that. It's still done anyway. It's just that you are just a beneficiary of what somebody else has done. And then he says, look, now you need to grow up. And you need to learn how to walk with me. Praise the Lord. And it's all relative. It's relative, you know. As you're growing, it gets you more things. As your obedience is getting better, you get more things. It's, you know. So that's why there are some things you just can't believe for. You have to grow. There's some basics he gives everybody, even the unbeliever. He lets his sun shine both on the good and the bad. He let the rain come both on the good and the evil. Why? So that God can bless everybody. There's a certain baseline. Everybody has that. And then with time, you know, if you want to start getting into the deeper things, the greatest blessings are at the deep end of the pool. That's another people don't like to hear. But this is the truth. They're at the deep end. They're not at the shallow end. There's some basic blessings that are at the shallow end for everybody. But there's a lot of blessings, and that's why you have to learn how to swim. Hallelujah. Deep calls unto deep. You have to learn how to, you know, walk with God. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Glory be to God. Well, like Papa Hagen used to say, I preach me happy. Amen. Wholesome instruction. Amen. Welcome or unwelcome. I like that, Pastor G. Thanks for the gift. You know, whether you like it or not, you say amen. Mm-hmm. You don't say amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You have to learn the word of God. You cannot make the word of God come down to your level. You have to come up to its level. Hallelujah. So that's why, you know, he said in verse 4, he said, you are of God, little children, and I've overcome them. Them who? Them antichrist spirits. Keep it in its context. It's true of every spirit, of course. Every spirit that's not of God. But it's particularly true of the antichrist spirit. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I said this in my last lesson. You know, the antichrist spirit operates through the lust of the flesh. And so here he says, greater is he that is in you than he. The world there is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the prince of the power of the air, through the mind, the will, the emotions, and the sin nature in the flesh, tries to make you, you know, do the wrong thing and bring these lying signs and wonders and all that. But the good news is the Bible says, you have overcome them. So you can overcome. There is no antichrist spirit you cannot overcome. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, there is no antichrist spirit you cannot overcome by the blood, the word, and the spirit. You have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you listening to me? And keep it in its context. Next verse, verse 5. Talk to me. They are of the world. They who? Antichrist spirit. The antichrist spirit is always appealing to the world. What does it appeal to? Let's contextualize it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is why the world hears them. And that is why they draw the crowd. Because that's what the world wants to hear. Everybody wants God's blessings. Nobody wants to do the will of God. Everybody wants whatever God can give him. Healing, prosperity, you know, your husband, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for. You know, if they promise it to you and you can get it, fine. You know, so long as they don't tell you that you have to do this or you have to do that. Now when they all tell you that all you have to do is just bring money and they put anointing on your head and the man will just prophesy and you just get it. It's not like that. The world hears them. Verse 6, Jesus help me. We are of God. Everybody say, we are of God. I didn't hear you. And he that knoweth God heareth us. You must contextualize this again. Paul, who is writing? John. You know, John was one of the original apostles. You know, of course, he was also writing about his spiritual children. You know, but he says, I'm speaking from authority. We are of God. And he that knoweth God hears us. You know, I think it was Peter who said, you know, in one of his epistles that, you know, if they are of God, they will hear what you have to say to them. If they're not of God, they won't listen. He says, remember the commandments of we, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then talked about Paul, you know. He said, these same things, our beloved brother Paul writes unto you, in which are some things that are hard to be understood, which they who are unstable and unlearned rest as they do the other scriptures. Peter agreed that Paul's writings were scripture. They rested to their own destruction. So that's why I say we the apostles, we who got it directly from the master, we who have written these things unto you, we are of God. And he that hears us, who knows God, hears us. He that doesn't hear us is not of God. Paul, John is very strong. And you know, John is the apostle of love. Yet you see him say some really strong things. You know, it's one of the scriptures. He says that if anybody comes to your house, he says, and does not bring this doctrine, he said, don't allow him to enter. And then he said, don't even say God bless you as you go. Don't bid him God's speed. He said, for he that biddeth him God's speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. If John was around today, they would completely crucify him. They won't even say he's proud. They would say he's very intolerant. That's how, you know why? Those guys were jealous over the word of God, the purity of the word of God that had been given to them. And they saw the tendency of people coming in to come and corrupt it. And sadly, that's what happened. You know, Paul said it. He said, I know this is the last time I'm going to see you. The guys in Ephesus. He said, after my decease, he says, many people will come with all kinds of funny doctrines, you know, to take away the people after, you know. And it happened. It happened. That's why some of us, to the glory and the praise of God, you know, have tried to be very jealous over these things God has given us. And say, Pastor Olubi is inflexible. Please, when it comes to the word of God, you have to be inflexible. Otherwise, you will eat from the Antichrist spirit, like many of our brethren have done. And, you know, you cannot tolerate, you know, anything that is outside the word of God. If it's not in line with the word of God, no matter how nice the person seems to be, it's not the right spirit. And you have to be firm. You don't have to fight or anything, but be firm and say no. That's why I'm very careful I open this pulpit to. You see, you don't find just everybody coming here. By the grace and the mercy of God, I could invite people, you know, say this one, come this one. I'm not looking for crowd. And I'm not, by the grace and the mercy of God, looking for the approval of men. If they bring not this doctrine, I don't invite them into my house. Wholesome instruction. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know? by, is it in line, is it according to the Spirit of God, or is it not according to the Spirit of God? Is it an antichrist spirit? Does it come in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ? That's how we know. This one is the spirit of error. This one is the spirit of truth. And then we stand on the truth of God's word and refuse to compromise. Refuse to compromise. Refuse to, you know, people invite me, oh, come and teach on this, come and teach on that. I say, are you really ready for me? Well, I'm not coming to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You know, I preach, I'm to the glory of God. I yet not I, but the Spirit of God and the grace of God is with me. I preach prosperity. I live prosperity. God's blessed and prospered me. But I teach it in a balanced way as the scriptures tell us. And I tell you that your prosperity grows with time. If it's as your soul prospers. You know, I have to tell you that truth. I can come here and tell you that all of you are going to become millionaires tomorrow. I just told you a lie. You know why? Because many of you are not yet grown enough to become millionaires spiritually. Of course, you know, you will have bread and water. Oh, you're sorry, man. That's what the Bible says. It says you have bread, you know, he will give you food and raiment. How many people understand that God always provides food and raiment? You see it in your life. You see food and raiment. Is that extra that we don't see? Is that extra we don't see? And you cannot see it until you grow. It's as your soul prospers, you begin to see more and more of the extra. Now you now see somebody else who is writing this, you know, and you say, I want to be like that. Fine. Do the thing he did. You want the blessing of Abraham, then have the faith of Abraham. But just to say, you just get the blessing of Abraham without walking in the steps of Abraham is a lie. Are you listening to me? And you know, this is the balance in this message. You know, I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants us to be successful. I believe God wants us to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You know, I believe in all of these things. But I understand, I got to close, that these things are conditional. And it is the degree to which we fulfill the conditions that we begin to enjoy more and more of those things. We enjoy a bit of them. You know? So I can't just come here and give a blanket prophecy. And everybody, you know, before the end of this year, you know, all of you, I saw something on the internet, I just laughed. You know, I think everybody's going to become a millionaire. You know, just one silly this thing, you know. So you all because I can't be telling people this kind of rubbish. You know, of course you God wants you ultimately to become a millionaire, even billionaire, even trillionaire. But you walk. You will walk with God. Then God can trust you. You know, when I preach these things, people get, you know, I hardly hear, I say this to the glory of God, I hardly hear others who say some of these. Some do. But you do, it's rare. Do you know it's in the Bible where it says that he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be no sin? How many times have you heard them quote that scripture in a prosperity message? Because they want it in 2 weeks. Then, by message there. Then I now come and say, he that maketh haste. I'm a Lord Church, Pastor, God discourage me. It'll depress me. When the Bible says, my God shall supply all of you. Only what's of me, but he that maketh. It's wholesome instruction. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. I'd give you another one. They that will be rich shall fall into a snare and into many hurtful and harmful and lustful, lusts. Drown men in destruction and perdition. This is the Bible. Is there all? Sheikh Arisha? In our language, have you read that? Now, does that mean God doesn't want us to prosper? Mm-mm. The same Bible says that Jesus became poor that he might be rich. So it must mean that there must be a way to become rich without falling into this snare. But if you try and be rich and you don't follow that way, you will fall into a snare. Wholesome instruction. The Antichrist spirit will never tell you this. It will just tell you blanket. You know, everybody, you know, if you can give 7,000 naira, you know, it's 11, today is $11,000. You know why? Today is 11-11. If you give $11,000 today, before 2018 ends. more than a millionaire. In dollars, thank you. That brother got it. He was moving in the spirit. God bless Brother Mfushi. Look, I tell you something, brother. That's how they do it. The first day I heard such things, I couldn't believe my ears. You know, somebody just said seven something. I said, what of knowledge, eh, gal? It's an antichrist spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. And you want to watch it so you don't fall into it. You know, we're going to continue in our next lesson where John begins to talk to us about walking in love. He says, God is love. Every man that loveth is born of God. I just say this briefly and then we'll close. You understand that, you see, this is, I'm just taking, you know, we'll go into detail next time. He said that this was manifest the love of God, that God gave his son as a propitiation for our sins. He gave his, John says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. So the Lord Jesus gives us the example, the supreme example of divine love. What you do in divine love is that you give your life for others. So others too can have divine life. And we're doing the same thing. That's why the Bible says that, you know, we which live are always delivered unto death. So when you stop, you instead of sleeping for 8 hours, you sleep for four. You eat, good morning Jesus. You have to get up early. You understand? Instead of eating like every other person eats, you restrict what you eat so that you can give more time in prayer and generate more power. What are you doing? You're laying down your life so that you can love, so you can give. It says, death worketh in us, but life in you. That is the message of the Bible. That is the message of Christianity. That you give your life. He said, God did it. Herein. He said, God is love. Herein. You know, this is the example of love. He said, now, you copy that example and your own love will also start getting perfected. But you know the good news? If you will learn to walk in love, there's nothing God can't trust you with. There's nothing. People haven't seen prosperity yet. We've just started. We have just started. People have not seen prosperity yet. They haven't seen, because you are going to see a church that's going to become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. Because they have developed in the love of God. They will have more money than everybody else and still be humble. And that's not an easy thing. Most people who have a little bit of money are so proud. You know, so self-centered. So, you know, and all of that. But that's why God put all those conditions inside. That's why you cannot be rich in haste. Because it takes patience to develop fruit. Is it clear? That's why he that seeketh to be rich in haste, he said he would not be innocent. He's going to tell a lie somewhere. He's going to do something that's wrong. He's going to cut corners. But as you develop your character, say, let patience have a perfect work. You may be, it is, you know, the patience requires time. So with that time now, you're not in a haste. And what will happen? You will be rich. You will be very rich. You will be very, very rich. Amen. Hallelujah. And then when you get it, what you're going to be doing with it is to say, who can I bless? Who can I bless? Even my enemies. Like David, he said, which was of the house of Saul? He said, Mephibosheth. He said, bring him. He said, he will eat at my table to the rest of his life. That's what God wants you to do with your money. Where is a need? Where do they need the work of God that has not been done? Then you go and give them 20 million and say, I don't want anybody to know. Anonymous. In fact, you just do a bank draft. You know, bank draft, they won't know where it came from. They just see it in their account. I like those kind of offerings. Eloshio, Eloshio, Eloshio. But you know, that's what God likes. That one, all the glory goes to God. Number one. Then number two, your reward is certain. Because you have not taken any accolade from man. Then the God who seeth in secret will reward you openly. Stand to your feet. I could go on and on. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. 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 Test the spirits. Don't believe it simply because it was a sign and a wonder. Bible calls it walking of Satan with lying wonders. That's the power that's behind the Antichrist spirit. Test it. Is Jesus come in the flesh? Will this thing lead me into the purpose of God? Is this... This is a very good one. Pastor Greg, I thank you again for that scripture. You know, the way the Amplified Bible said it. Ask yourself, every time you're listening to any message or any prophecy or any kind of thing, test the spirit. Is this wholesome instruction? Ask yourself, has he told me everything? Is this instruction wholesome? Is this sound doctrine? So you don't fall into this Antichrist spirit snare. Everybody talk to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit we have in us is greater than the Antichrist spirit that's operating in the air through the flesh of men, both in and out of the church. Again, don't think the Antichrist spirit is only the people who are not born again, who are not Christians, who are they don't confess Christ. That's Antichrist. That, yes, that's part of it. But you can be in the church and operate an Antichrist spirit. In fact, that's the one that is deceptive, because the Antichrist spirit actually comes in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ. And Jesus warned us, said, not everybody that says Lord, Lord, that's the Antichrist spirit. Now talk to God. Say, God, have mercy on me. Help me to desire truth in the inward parts. Wholesome instruction. If it's not wholesome, Lord, I don't want it. I only want wholesome instruction. He says he desires truth. The thing that will... I'm going to do that in my main message. The thing that will save you in this day is honesty of heart. That's the only thing that will save you. If you're looking for something and you don't have an honest heart, you will be taken in by these funny spirits. The thing that will save you today is honesty of heart. Is this wholesome instruction? Is this sound doctrine? Okay, let me go and check the Bible if these things are so. Find out what the Bible really says, not what they told you it says. And that way you will not be deceived. Put one hand on your heart. Time is gone. So we just, pray. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come this morning, opening and revealing to me the operation of the Antichrist spirit in the world and in the church today. The spirit that comes in the name of Christ, calling him Lord, Lord, but against the purpose of Christ, not doing the things that he said. Father, have mercy on me. Protect me from this Antichrist spirit. O God, create in me a clean heart.
Renew in me
a right spirit, an honest and upright heart that will only accept wholesome instruction.
Deliver me
from itching ears.
Deliver me
from trying to use the word of God to satisfy my human lusts.
Oh God,
have mercy on me.
Preserve me
in purity in this day where there's so many antichrists spirits operating in the church. Have mercy on me, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lika tolomasha kakakolomoto. Lerek dashtufridesk. Zefiri kotolomashalakado.
Mercy, Lord, as we pray in the spirit. Lika tosko fredekaka. Tolomotolomasha. Lambrakamatolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolomotolom In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Folks, I got a very encouraging word for all of us. Great revival is coming. This manifestation of sons of God, the glory of God, the Feast of Tabernacles. And I tell you something, it's going to sweep the church clean. Clean! Clean! By the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. It's going to burn out all the impurities of the daughters of Zion. Find in Isaiah chapter 4. Good news. You know, sometimes I must be honest with you. I look at the church and my heart sinks. I'm being honest. You know, I'm being honest. You know, of course, you know, God encourages me like David. You know, David, when he got to Ziklag and the Amalekites had come, which is the type of the flesh. They'd taken all the women, all the children and everything. You know, the Bible says they wept till they had no more power to weep. You know, because they thought they had killed them. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then God said, pursue and you will overtake. Again, they will take that one and twist it. You know, he's talking about pursuing the flesh, the sin nature, and then you will overtake it and get it all out of your system. It's not just material. That's true. There's an aspect to that, but that's not what he's talking about. You know, anyway, and in the same way, you know, sometimes your heart sinks. Say, God, look at all of this rubbish and nonsense. But God says, he's coming. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and he will be like a refining fire, like a fuller's soap, and he will refine the sons of Levi, and they will offer unto him an offering in righteousness. Implication: the present offerings are not in righteousness. So it's coming. Glory be to God. Give a Lord a clap offering.